Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about social networking and what some of the big boys are trying to do. When we come back, we'll take phone calls for the entire hour with Dr. Fred Allen on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Dr. Fred Allen Wolf. Fred, will the universe, the way we know it, end? Will it disappear? Will it crunch itself together?
I think it's going to do that. If it's following the pattern that I see as part of the creation annihilation dance of Shiva, so to speak, it's going to end. But that doesn't mean it ain't going to start up again.
See, maybe that's what the Big Bang is. Maybe it expands and then it contracts.
And then it expands again.
And then it explodes up.
That kind of story is what is going on, although it doesn't look like that's happening now. It looks like it's accelerating in its expansion, and this is primarily due to this dark energy field, which seems to be pushing things more apart. And there's a kind of a battle going on between dark energy pushing things apart and dark matter squeezing things back together again. So it's hard to say for sure what's going on because we don't quite understand dark energy and dark matter. Those are what physicists now call the 9,000-pound elephants in the room that we are ignoring. And I have a little bit to say about it, but not enough yet to really tell people I know what's going on there. I don't really do.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Cynthia in Laguna Niguel in California on the wild card line. There you go. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, George, and hi, Dr. Fred.
Hi, Cynthia.
Yes, I have a question for you, but actually I have two. But the first one would be, do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes, there's reincarnation. Not only is that, but it looks like it's possible if these time loop kind of things or this time travel possibility. When George asked him about time travel, I was only talking about physical time travel. I didn't talk about mental time travel, mind time travel. As far as the mind is concerned, time travel is no barrier. There's no reason why if mind is working in a kind of tachyonic field sense faster than light, then time is not a barrier. You're not slowed down. You can go backwards or forwards in time. It may be possible to get reborn in the past. Because you look at time from the point of view of physics, all time is kind of laid out now, so to speak. We have the past, the present, and the future, and they're all kind of like coexisting at once. We call that a space-time diagram, and you can learn a lot more about that by looking at my book, the Time Loops book, because it explains it all to you. And so there's no reason why I can see why you couldn't be reborn in the past or in the future. So it seems to me that once you get to the point where you're not hung up on the material matrix, so to speak, you get a chance to experience coming back maybe even earlier.
May I ask you then, are you saying while we're still alive in this existence right now, or let's say after my body dies?
Right now, it's going on, but you're not aware of it. You may become dimly aware of it at times when you have these things called lucid dreams or out-of-body experiences or, you know, weird stuff happens to you. A lot of people have a lot of weird stuff that people write to me, tell me all kinds of weird things, and they may be actually mind-jumping into parallel universes where they're experiencing things that weren't there that are here in this present universe and then coming back again. I mean, the mind can play games like that. Maybe schizophrenia has something to do with that kind of maybe that disease has to do with people that are mind jumping between universes. So we don't understand that, so we say you're crazy, but that may not be what's going on at all.
May I ask you something?
Yeah.
Regarding the mind now as we know it, let's say, because we are limited in, by the way we were raised, limited in conceiving of that idea of mind travel now, but would you consider mind traveling as well in our dreams if they are very, very lucid?
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's definitely, definitely, definitely. Yes, 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 yes.
So are you saying then while we're alive then?
While we're alive, but as I said to you, they're not as vivid. When you kick off the mortal plane, so to speak, you're pretty free. And that's when you kind of get to see the things from a perspective of more of the one-mindedness, kind of Akashic record, if you want to call it, mind of God. Point. I don't know what, you know, I can't really tell you with, oh, I've just been there and I've done that. No, I'm telling you what it's all about. I can't explain it to you that way. I can only kind of speculate about it. But I think from that point of view, you get more awareness of the other possibilities and other places for rebirth and so forth. So I think that's it's just easier after you die. It's, you can do it while you're alive, but it probably takes a lot of training. There are schools, the Robert Monroe School got into that kind of thing,
sure,
for a while. There are schools which teach that kind of travel and into alternate realities. And so I think it's definitely possible.
Fred, you talk about deja vu in some of your works. I've always believed that that could be some kind of a time warp between other universes. What do you think?
Deja vu, there are two things to talk about. Deja vu and something I call jamais vu.
What is
now,
that?
Jamais vu is not something everybody hears about very much. Jamais vu is probably the most profound experience.
Sounds like French for goodbye.
Jamais vu is, oh, I think I've done that before. This feels familiar to me. Jamais vu is, oh, I've never had that happen before in my life. Oh, my God, what was that? Jamais vu is like a sudden recognition that something new has just occurred. And I like to have jamais vus more than deja vus. But anyway, deja vus are everybody has them. And whether they're recollections of something you did in the past in another universe, or possibly something that took place in a dream in which you had the experience of what's going to be happening now. In other words, you're dreaming of the future, and you have this experience, oh, in the future, I'm going to have the experience where Matilda calls me on the phone, and she says, hey, Fred, did you know that donkey in Mexico really wasn't a donkey, it was a horse? And I have the dream of that, and then the next day, Matilda calls me on the phone. He says, hey, Fred, did you know that donkey we saw in Mexico really wasn't a donkey, it was a horse? And I say, you know, I think I've had this experience before. So it could be a flash forward and then a recognition of having the flash forward when you have the actual experience. It could just be that. Because the mind is not limited in time the way matter seems to be limited in time. Once you get into this material realm, and this is all explained in my book, by the way, once you get into this material realm, you're limited. Limitation on direction of time, causality, all these things start to come into your picture of who and what you are, and you begin to think that everything is confined. I call that living within the light cone, or being caught behind the wall of light. You're caught in that arena, so to speak. And once you get in that kind of, like, caught in the wall of light, logical, rational, causal worldview, you don't have these kinds of extraordinary deja vu kind of experiences. But the deja vu experiences are from the elsewhere. They're from things that are faster than light, and they're like the dream states. And you do have these experiences then, and they do register. And possibly when they come back into your everyday world of like the next day or whatever, you then remember them and say, oh, you know, I've had this conversation before.
Is it conceivable that with deja vu, you may be able to change your own destiny if you know what is going to happen?
Well, the thing is about deja vu is it doesn't seem to work that way. It seems that what deja vu does is just
that doesn't
like
give you
a
much
slap
time.
In the head. Yeah. Dummy, you've had this before.
Yeah, and that's it.
You may decide from that point, hey, maybe I won't do what I think I did before now that I've had this experience again. I'll do something different. You may change your mind, but then again, it may be that the deja vu experience, you did the same thing anyway. You had the thought of, hey, I'm having this experience. I'm not going to do this again. So you don't really know. You don't really know. So I don't think deja vu necessarily changes you. It just gives you a kind of wake-up call that your mind is capable of slipping beyond the walls of light.
Okay, let's go to Flagstaff, Arizona. Yogi's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Yogi.
Good evening. Hey, it's really a pleasure to hear Dr. Fred saying things that I've been practicing for 30 years. God is everything, everywhere, all the time. No exceptions. He's experiencing his existence through us. We're basically living in his thoughts, his dream, and also, Fred, I heard you say ane yode vave, and that actually, if you repeat that name enough.
Yogi, say that again. What did you say? I missed that.
Ane yode vave.
Oh, yode vave, yes. Should I repeat
or
that?
Or ane yode shin vave.
That's Yeshua. That's the Jesus. So that's the spirit that that Yeshua, Jesus, brought into. That's the Yod Heh Shin Vav Heh. Yeah, that's Yeshua.
Exactly correct. If you do that enough, he will actually show up and talk to you. That changed my life, and I was asking him questions, and he came and answered them. It's plain as day. And
how long do you have to ask for him before he shows up?
It took me at varying degrees. I was doing it 15 hours a day for about 4 months.
Well, I don't know if we have that kind of time.
I know it's different for everybody.
That's
I know
intense.
There are people that can do it one time and something will happen.
Yeah. This reminds me of something, Yogi, which is called Enlightenment Intensive. My friend Jeff Love does these experiences with people called Enlightenment Intensives. You can look him up on the web. He does these things where you, instead of dialoguing with Jesus as you've done, they dial. By the way, this is also a Buddhist monk trick or a method as well, in which the monk faces the wall for like 20 years and asks himself, who am I? What am I? Or one simple question, and waits and waits and waits as the answers just pass by like clouds through his mind. There's all kinds of techniques that are used this way. In Enlightenment Intensive, you have this experience where you ask each other a kind of a question, and as a result, you eventually become enlightened for a period of time that you can become aware of the minute you leave the intensive and go on to the everyday world and realize that you suddenly are gifted with all kinds of powers of observation that you never had before, but it doesn't always last. Sometimes it'll last for a day or two, but then it slips away.
Fred, you've talked about some techniques, I guess, signs to know you're on the right path of existence. What are some of those right signs?
Be aware, be awake, pay attention to what's happening in your life. When you decide to give up on attempting to only materially assist yourself,
mm-hmm.
when you give up on that, when you begin to realize that that is not going to really make you any happier, when you begin, and I don't mean by material, I don't mean necessarily money or clothes or something obviously material. Material can be anything that you hold on to as your reality and only fixated on it. I'm going to be the president. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this, that. I'm going to get that girl. I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to have this. The correct word here is the I, the ego I. When you start egoing everything into existence, when you're playing that kind of game, you become what is called crazy. When I walked into what are called places where people are called, quote unquote, crazy, or they're into states of altered states of egoicity, all they can see is themselves. And that's all they're dealing with is their I and their world. They're in a state of total I. And it is crazy. It's a state of being insane. And when you're doing that, you can't see anything. You really are blind to the world. When you decide that you give that up, and you can give it up very simply. You can give it up by religious, spiritually giving up. Some people give it up by becoming devotees of Christianity or of Jesus or of Buddha or Brahma or of Islam or whatever. There are many ways of giving it up. Once you decide to do that, you start to become more aware of the world in which you exist. You start to see people, feel people, hear people, even smell and sense them, so that you begin to become aware of the world. It's kind of like a practice of yoga, where you become aware of your body by putting it in various postures, various asanas. You become aware, and it's the becoming aware that will give you signs. When I was in a state of high depression, I didn't know what I was going to do in my life. I just quit my job. I had no job. I had no money. I don't know what I was going to do. I had a reminder because I was open. I already gave up. I already devoted myself to be of service. That's what I said. I want to be of service. I've got this brain. I've got this ability to talk and use my mind and my head, my words, whatever. I'll serve. That's it. I said, God, do with me as you will. I just gave it up. I just said, I'd give up any other thing. Mm-hmm. I don't care about money, diamonds, jewels. It means nothing to me. A diamond is a rock. I'd throw it away. It means as much to me as a rock I'd find on the beach. I these things don't mean anything to me. So once I realized that I was doing all that, I got signs. I mean, like, big ones. I got information. Things I couldn't see before, I was seeing. Dreams I wasn't having before, I was having. In other words, once you decide to give that stuff up, you get the message. It comes to you. And you just have to have the faith in yourself to give things up, to give up any egoic tendency. One egoic tendency I want to insist that everybody listening to me give up. Give up the notion that you're stupid. Give it up. Give up the notion that you can't learn mathematics, physics, quantum physics, how to play a musical instrument, how to become a better athlete, a better this. Give up
a better person.
That you can't do something, and let the universe prove to you that you can.
It's simple as that.
It is that simple,
yeah.
Because it will. The universe is plentiful.
It's like the law of attraction, Fred, isn't it? Like the law of attraction. Dr. Fred Wolf has been our guest, and he will be when we come back in a moment to take some final phone calls. His book is Time Loops and Space Twists. His website, fredallenwolf.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, Tuesday night for you Coast Insiders, it will be our very first experimental video chat. You'll still ask me questions via computer, but I will be answering them to you, audio and video, that you'll get on your little computer. So we're moving ahead with more technology, and yes, they are working on the Android apps. Trust me, I will get a full report this week, and I'll pass it on to you. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls. Well, for just pennies a day, you can be a Coast Insider, formerly StreamLink. Just simply go to coasttocoastam.com and you can sign up for that. When we come back with Dr. Fred Allen Wolf, it's final phone call time on Coast to Coast AM. So, Fred, did you get hit by the light? How did you realize all this? How did it all come together for you?
So many different ways. As I said, it was a question of waking up and realizing that I didn't need to hold on to my job, that I didn't need to be just this. I had pretty much settled into an existence, and I could feel inside of me that something was burning. Something was not taken care of. Something was burning. I could feel it. It was in my mind, in my heart, in my body, this desire, this burn. And it became pretty overwhelming to me, where I decided, well, what is it telling me to do? And the answer I got is, quit your job, give up your security, and go face the world.
Gee.
And that was it. Once I did that, I then went through withdrawal. I mean, everybody that has this has something like this happen. You go, you start off, you're secure, everything's going on fine, and suddenly you get this feeling, and then bang, oh, you drop.
Well, and you begin to doubt things too, don't you?
Then everything seems dark. So you go through the dark periods, but at that point, this is where your faith, you have to have faith. Your faith comes into it, and it says, look, you know, it may be dark right now, but you've made your sacrifice, you've given it up, you've said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to just, you know, I've given myself to the universe. I'm saying, this is it, use me, that's it. And then little sparks of light start to come in. Before long, you're seeing the sunrise, but it takes a while. It wasn't something that happens, oh, well, gee whiz, it's over and done with. It's almost as if there is a period of resistance that you have to go through first before you can emerge. It's almost like, you know, the old saying that if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger, whatever it is you're going through.
That's true.
And I think people have to be willing, and more than willing, be willing to go through that with grace. In other words, to do the suffering that you're going to go through, to emerge on the other side, but do it gracefully. Just realize that it's not going to be dark forever, and you will get out of it. And that's what happened to me. I just when these events, which I talked about in my other books, like The Eagle's Quest and my other book. I got 17 books out there, and you can read all about these things if you want to, or listen to them on my audio course tapes in which I talk about these experiences. When these things began to happen to me, I started to laugh. And once I was laughing, I then knew. I was awakened. I woke up and I realized, oh, wow, universe is really much more magical than I was giving it any credit.
You got hit by the beam of light.
That was it. But it was great. You could get hit by the beam of light and you could just say, what was that? Now I'll go back to hitting the grindstone. But or you can wake up.
Let's go to Mike, Sierra Vista, Arizona, wildcard line. Mike, go ahead.
Hello, it's a pleasure to speak with you both.
Glad you got through.
Yes, I have this theory. I don't know if it's an original thought of mine or something I read someplace and misunderstood, but I was wondering what your take on it is.
All right, go ahead.
Picture, if you will, a bathtub full of bubbles. And our universe, the one we experience, the galaxies and all, is but one of those bubbles. And that bubble, along with other bubbles, other universes, are expanding, as ours is now. And as it expands, it's contracting another universe. And that other universe will get to a point where it can no longer contract, but will expand, and thus causing our universe to cease from expanding as it is and begin to contract. Does that make any sense?
Interesting visual there, Fred.
No, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It makes sense. There are such pictures of the parallel universe ideas that fit that picture. You may find me discussing them a little bit in my book, Parallel Universes, but you'll find it in other places by going online and just looking at the subject. I think there's a Scientific American ran a series of articles about parallel universes, and I think... what you're describing sounds similar to that. It's not quite the same thing, but it's an interesting idea. It's creative on your part, and I would say keep doing it. Now, if you want to really get into the mathematics of bubbles and the expansion of bubbles, that might be fun for you to look at it. Maybe even fill your bathtub with a bunch of bubbles. And
what happens, though, Fred?
To put them in, that'd even be better.
When a bubble gets too big, it busts.
It can bust, yeah. But his bubbles are stuff that they don't get that big. They start to crunch up other ones, which make them get smaller. And I don't know what happens to them then.
We've got Keith in Dallas, Texas now. Hi, Keith.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is an original thought of mine, but, you know, when you mentioned something earlier about how looking out into stars and the various M-class worlds that there might be out there, how we could be looking at ourselves, I've often thought, what if there are worlds just like ours? They don't have to look exactly like ours, or maybe some of them do, but that have humans just like ours that are at the exact same of technological development. Say they're going through the space age / nuclear age at this very point in time, and that it kind of like in Star Trek, and that at some point we all kind of meet each other, or we all develop that same level of technology that's needed to get people from this system to that system in a relatively short amount of time.
Well, let me tell you something that maybe will expand upon your idea. It's a good idea, but let me expand on it a little bit. When you start talking about parallel realities and worlds out there or universes out there, we're really going to, let's say, scales of time and space in which what we call now, what you mean, well, it's happening at the same time now, isn't the same for other universes. Now is really a thought. Now is, from your point of view, it is a series of events that you can imagine are happening now. If you actually look at events, when you see them, you're looking at what happened in the past as far as those events are concerned. So you're really not seeing the world now. You're seeing the world then. Nobody sees the world now. They imagine the world now, but you're always experiencing the then. You follow what I'm talking about? Because it takes time for information to get to you. Now, when we're talking about really big distances out there, what they call now may turn out to be a now which goes through our future, our present, and our past all at once. It's their now line or their now plane of existence may not be parallel to our now plane of existence, and it may cross so that we only have momentary locuses or loci of where our now and their now agree, but they're not everywhere in their planes of existence. So their now could be looking at our past and our future, just as when we look out at the stars, for example, we see distant galaxies. We're not seeing them. We say we're seeing the light now, but what we're seeing is what left those galaxies at the speed of light a long time ago, maybe even as much as a billion years ago. Or even more.
Fred, what's going to be the next big breakthrough in physics that they're working on?
The big thing, right, we're talking now immediate time, right now. I mean, right now what they're doing. They want to get that Higgs excitation. They want to see that Higgs particle.
They want that God particle, don't they?
They want the God particle. That's what they're searching for. So far, they don't see it. And I predicted in my book that it's not going to show up. I could be very wrong about this. And, of course, you know, that's what happens. You make mistakes. You can be wrong. Physics can make mistakes. I can be wrong. I'm not perfect. So I don't think there's going to be a Higgs particle, because I think we're dealing now with what I think is this field which fills everything. And it may not be a field that can get excited the way we think it should get excited. There's a whole story here to be told that has to do with something called the Mexican hat potential. If you want to read about that, it's in my book, and it's fun to read about this, how we think the Higgs field is a Mexican hat potential and why it looks that way and what it's doing. And I don't think it is quite that way, but because it isn't quite that way, it's possible that we'll never see anything like a Higgs particle although people are thinking that we can't have our particles having mass unless there is a Higgs particle. I don't think that's the case. I think all you need is a field. You just need the field. The energy of the field is enough to make particles, our particles, the kinds we normally deal with, have mass. But we don't need the actual particle to do that.
Fred, where does prophecy come in, like the Book of Revelation in the Bible? Where does all that fit into the scheme of things, or does it?
Well, everything fits into the scheme of things. What I believe goes on is that people that have these prophetic insights are probably people that have had very strong tendencies to have lucid dreams,
mm-hmm.
in which they saw the future. You see, even in the Bible, it's written that Joseph was a lucid dreamer and saw the future and other things and predicted, you know, the seven things that happened to Pharaoh or something like that. So, I mean, there's prophetic. So there's prophecy, which I think is coming from dream states. I don't think you just wake up and have a prophecy. I think you're in an altered state when you have it. Something shifts you. And I think it works because I don't think that time, and it's in quantum physics and in Einstein relativity, we understand this, that time is not simply now. That what we call now is simply a way of thinking. And that when we really look at time, time and space are intimately related in what is called space-time. And when you look at that, you realize that we're looking at maps of events, and future and past and present are kind of, they're not prejudices exactly, but they're simply viewpoints taken by observers, and they don't have to be in agreement.
Let's go to Spokane, Washington, west of the Rockies. Ryan, let's get you in here. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
Boy, so much to chew on. I just wanted to kind of make a comment. I was hearing you talk about the universe actually accelerating. I've heard it's expanding, but never really accelerating. And this vision popped into my head, kind of like the bubble theory, that maybe the universe was more like a drop of oil on a sphere, stretching out to the outside and accelerating as it comes around, and maybe even meeting up and bouncing back the other way.
Well, what do you think of that, Fred?
I'm imagining now a drop of oil on a sphere, and what happens is the drop of oil will assume that they're talking about it in a gravitational field, or
yes.
What's making it spread out?
Perhaps the rebound from the last drop.
You mean you drop it onto a sphere?
It's already on the sphere, just spreading out over it, comes around, meets up again, and bounces.
I could see it. If I literally have a ball on my hand and I put a drop of oil on it, I can see the drop kind of like what it does in a frying pan. It'll spread out a little bit, but after a while, it comes back together again because there's something called surface tension, which kind of brings it back together. So I don't see quite how it gets all the way around the sphere. Maybe it does, but I don't quite see that, so I don't quite get the model.
Fair enough.
All right, you got it. Rodney is in Auburn, Washington, first-time caller. Hi, Rodney.
Good morning, George. I really enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
I think you're more psychic than you realize.
Maybe.
I'm sure. And good morning, Fred. Good morning. I just had two things I wanted to say, and I'd be glad to take my answers off the air. Like reincarnation, I kind of believe in. And I wonder how people communicate if they've reincarnated in different times, like in different countries. Can they understand each other, or is there a universal language? And the second one is, talking about different universal, not planets, but universes, do you think it's possible that we could incarnate, or are we limited to just this universe now? Is there a guide?
Can we cross over, you mean, like into another universe?
Yes.
Can
or are we
from?
Limited?
Well, I don't see any reason why not. I mean, if these parallel universes are there, there's no reason why you can't be in it. In fact, in a certain kind of way of thinking, you're already there. But I don't want to get into that because that gets to the whole idea of the locating mind. But I won't get it. I talk about that in the book, but let's not get into that right now. Your other question has to do with I've already forgotten it. Do you want to just give me a quick repeat of what you said? In the first
Well, he was talking about universal languages.
Oh, your language. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We
got about a minute to go.
Language. In a dream is unspoken but understood. That's the basis of all language. So when you are in the state of reincarnation or in the state of communication with another, that's the language that's spoken. Words get in the way.
Are you now 100% convinced that there is a God out there, whatever God might be?
You know, conviction doesn't have anything to do with it. It's. I'm as convinced. I mean, there's God for me as much as there is me for me.
Sure.
I can't distinguish between the two of them anymore. I don't mean that in any sense of the word. It's just that's the way the universe works.
Right. We could go on for another 4 more hours about this. I've got a million more questions for you because what if we're all wrong? What if it's just pure random? I can't believe that, though. I don't think we're wrong.
Well, randomness plays a part in it. We need the chaos. Order makes no sense without the chaos.
Well, that's true. And vice versa. That's right. Absolutely. Fred, thanks so much for being on the program. Dr. Fred Wolf, his book, Time Loops and Space Twists. If you need to check out his website and he'll take your emails, we've got the link for you at coasttocoastam.com. For Jason Bowers, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.